And now, it's time for the Freedom Fiends Agenda live call-in show. Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Call in before they get droned. Right now, live on Freedom Fiends Radio.
Yo.
Yo.
What's Nima up, Fiends? You enjoying your glorious day of government service that you get for free?
Why is it my glorious day of government service?
I don't know. I mean, every day they give us wonderful services and do things for us that we couldn't do for ourselves.
I forgot about that. Like Leslie Knope says, that's what governments do. They provide services.
I know.
Yeah. And then, I'm just so thankful for all the drones that can kill me and all the cops that can point guns at me and all the tickets and taxes I have to pay. It just makes me feel all warm inside. It warms my cockles.
Cockles. Speaking of cockles, my that rooster's gone. I think it was lunch. I don't think it was a pet. The ones my neighbors got.
They're preparing for some chicken soup.
Or some cockfighting.
So, yeah. Do I need to turn up a little bit?
Maybe crossing swords. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Turn up a little bit. How's that? Yeah.
That's mango. Better. That's mango-tastic.
All right.
Yeah. Government services, man.
Yeah, man, they're not really services. If they were really services, people would buy them without being forced to. People do, I guess. Well, I mean, people don't at all.
Do you ever wake up?
Where is going with that?
Do you ever wake up on pod day? Here's what I do sometimes. I wake up on pod day. I go in to take my pooper, and I'm sitting there like pre-coffee, just smoking a cigarette on the toilet, and I'm going like, I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. I don't say I don't want a podcast, but I'm like, are we really going to go just scream at the government again? I mean, they're going to kill us for this. At one point, I believe, I think that.
Think
and then
that?
I have my coffee, and like 20 minutes later, I'm like, and the government.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like you got to do it anyway, even if they're going to
find
you.
Though they're going to find you because you registered your mic, man. And now you're getting spam from Shure. I never register gear, man.
Yeah.
That.
I don't mind getting spam from Shure. They've got some interesting things. EQ IQ, a quick primer. Top 6 church audio questions for 2012. And that's what
church.
We are. We're a church.
We're a church, man.
We're the church of fiends, man. We got to know how to spread the message better, right?
I know. So, but when they're done eradicating the Second Amendment and they're going after the First, they're going to look at everyone who's registered their mics first and knock in their doors.
Yes, you're right. Don't register. I'm going to give you an order. Don't register your mics ever.
I think that should be the name of the episode. Don't register your microphones, all capital letters.
Yes, yes. Yeah, man. They bribed me into it. They offered me a $10 rebate. So I did it. Bad call.
Yeah.
I don't know. They can come take the mic from my cold, dead scissor arm.
Well, remember, I said that they're going to start having SWAT teams that painted on the side of the Bearcat. It's going to say, you know, whatever the name of the local team is, you know, the Casper, what's the sports team here?
The Casper Dicks.
Yeah, be the Casper Dicks. And it'll say, taking the guns from your cold, dead hands since 2000, and not 13. I'm sure they've taken the gun from someone's cold, warm, dead hand before.
Warm, dead hand.
They don't really take it from your cold, dead hand. Generally, when they shoot you, they come over and step on your wrist. You know, that's something, if you ever have to shoot somebody in self-defense, get the gun out of their hand before you do anything. You know, go over there, and Boston says this, step on their wrist, because when someone's stepping on your wrist, it's impossible to grasp anything.
Yeah.
Or kick it away from them. But, step on their hand, and their warm, dead hand, and take their gun.
News you can use.
I got more news you can use. The other news you can use is probably something you'd hear on, like, the Today Show with Shea Bear or whatever her name is. What's her name?
Shea Bear?
I don't know. This morning news, ABC, you know, The View. This is something you'd hear on The View, but they probably wouldn't tell you how to step on someone's hand after you shoot them to take their gun. they let the government take the guns. So,
right.
But yeah, there's
pussies.
There's this new thing. Basically, the news is in most states, don't use credit cards anymore because there's this new government gun law that government law that they can add like a bunch of charges to credit cards they couldn't before. They can't do it for debit cards, but for the next 8 months, unless you're in California, Colorado, Connecticut, Florida, Kansas, Maine, Massachusetts, New York, Oklahoma, or Texas, don't use a credit card when you can use a debit card or pay cash or gold, because and don't register your mics, people. I can't stress this enough.
Exactly, man.
I bought my mics at a mic show, man. I traded silver for my mics. There's no record. They're not papered mics.
I traded non-governmental services for my mic.
I know. Is that something you can trade? Oh, man.
Yeah. Is there any restrictions on trading if it's not money? Like, can I barter anything for anything else?
There will be. They're trying to pass a law in Illinois that you have to register your precious metals.
Ah, yeah.
I mean, we're joking about the mic thing, but I'm kind of half joking about the mic thing. And I don't think they'll find people by microphone registrations. I think they'll find them by what they're putting out there in the world. Although they might find you from, like, you know, if you're doing micro radio, they'll probably look up who's bought those little hilly transmitters on Amazon through that page that we saw by Cash Newman. They'll probably, you know, they could track those people down. So,
yeah. I don't know, man. I don't think they're going to go after... I mean, the only time it seems like they go after little radio operators if somebody's snitching, like that one snitch butt.
The ham
person.
Radios turn you in. Yeah. The hams.
Yeah. So,
well,
I don't know, man.
They do kill people for free speech, and they jail people for free speech in America. I mean, Tommy Chong basically went to prison for free speech. You know, he spent the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 10s ranting about how great pot is in movies and on records. And how stupid government cops were, especially like DEA cops. And although the DEA didn't even exist, I don't think, when they started doing that, they just called him Sergeant Stadanko. And he was, you know, we kind of based our cop on him. Ban Banning that I played. Mm-hmm. Dan Banning. Mm-hmm. And well, you're his non-evil twin, half twin brother.
Yeah.
Ban Banning.
Will they also steal anything from you for any reason? Speaking of the DEA, with civil forfeiture, which they don't even have to say that you did anything wrong. They can just steal your property. And but what was it? It was like some Motel Caswell thing. That was the name of this motel that the feds stole from a family. And some kind of nonprofit sued the government and actually got the motel back, which is kind of like a really important precedent.
Was it the ACLU? That's something they
No, it was like
do.
The Institute of Justice or something like that.
I like that. I mean, you know, I'm an anarchist, but I like that kind of action that goes against bad laws because it's all we got. Right. Other than free speech, blah, 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 into my microphone that I registered.
Well, and it seems like one of the reasons that the government actually lost the case is it was just so obvious that nobody could really justify it. Like, under testimony or cross-examination, there was a DEA agent or some kind of federal goon who said his job was to look through news articles all day and different types of media and find places that there had been drug crimes in or near and then calculate the cost and the amount they would get from stealing it and then go to the local department and be like, hey, go steal this and we'll share the profits with you.
Near. How does near get in there? You know, like if someone a block away from me has a meth lab, they think they should steal me.
Right. Well, it was just like something that you could credibly, I guess not even credibly, but just something you could get away with. And in this case, it was a motel. So something like 16 times people who had stayed at the hotel had been arrested for, you know, doing drugs, not necessarily selling drugs, just like doing drugs. And so the cops came in and they steal it. And the I guess the judge basically said, well, you can't prove to me that the people who own the motel are doing anything wrong.
What are you supposed to do? Before we give you a key, are you planning to do drugs?
Right. We must drug test you before you rent the motel room.
The feds would love that.
Oh, they would. Yeah, they love to drug test you anytime, man.
Someone said that coffee is my anti-compliacin.
Yeah,
podcasting is my anti-drug and coffee is my anti-compliacin. I don't really have an anti-drug, although I guess since I was an addict, keeping busy keeps me off drugs. You know, they say in early recovery, they always tell you, you know, to stay sober, you need someone to love and something to do, which I was confused and in a fog. And I was like,
because you thought it was the same thing.
I thought it was something someone to do and something to love. Yeah.
Yes.
Then I got cats a few years later and things got better. I was doing people day five, but you know, other girls that were kicking and couldn't sleep.
Cats are a drug, man. My wife says the cats make her more lazy because she'll be about to do something and then Flocken will cuddle up next to her and start purring and go to sleep and close its eyes real slowly. It makes you just want to stay on the couch and go to sleep.
Yeah. Cats know when you're depressed or not happy, or they come to you when you're sad or happy. They come to you when you're sad to cheer you up, and when you're happy to share it and amplify it.
Really? I thought they just go manipulate your emotions so that you'll treat them nice and give them treats.
Wow. Well, I always say cats are creepy, and it's a compliment, but I think it's true. And DJ argues with me, and she's like, they're not creepy. You know, and she says that it's just because I'm putting them like human qualities on them.
You're personifying them.
Yeah, like, you know, if a human did what a cat did, it would be really creepy. Like, sit around in the dark and stare out the window and then stare at you while you sleep and then pounce and then lie in wait and attack other things. And I've been finding my mic pop filters all over the house, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, you teased them with it, so obviously they're going to go attack them.
Oh, could that picture? He was asleep, man. I put that on his head while he's asleep.
Okay. Well, yeah. So they're upset. They're upset about that, man. They're extracting vengeance on the multicolored pop filters.
That's racist.
That's fun. It is. Them colored pop filters, which is interesting because the ones you have that are colored are not black.
Right. So, radio. People keep asking about radio. I don't know about radio, man. I can't talk a whole lot about it. And I don't know about radio, man. Well, I don't know.
Rewind to a month ago. Radio!
I know. Well, we're going to get on radio sometime, but I don't know if it's going to be through those people or when or how, or if we're going to have to call people up and say, we're great. Put us on. It's going to happen, but I don't think it's going to happen the way... Basically, well, I don't want to say anything to jinx anything, but...
Even if we have to make it happen, it's going to happen.
Right.
We're going to get there. It's just, it might not be the exact way we thought we'd get there. But man, it's going to happen. Don't worry. Yeah. Calm your jets, peoples.
Nemo, what do you think of the secret website no one can see that I made for us?
Wow, it's a little too narrow for our audience. But yeah, it's awesome.
I think
it's the best website that I've ever laid my eyes on. It's so amazing. And nobody can see it.
No, say honestly what you think of it.
Oh.
Because, you know, it's not bad radio to say, I have a secret. It'll eventually be revealed, but not soon. But what do you think of it?
I think it's really great. Yeah.
It's not even on Google. You can't find it on Google. It's not linked anywhere.
It's pro-looking. It makes me want to know more.
And it involves Ben.
It's not cluttered. Oh, yeah. It's got some sexy pictures of us.
We can't talk about Ben's involvement yet.
We can't?
No.
He hasn't agreed?
No, he's agreed. But we're talking about a secret. All we can say is it's a secret that involves you and me and Ben.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're not the only ones doing this. I feel like this is kind of what the Ron Paul people are doing right now. They're going on shows and saying and writing articles and saying, we've got something big planned. It's going to be really awesome. Ron Paul isn't retiring. He's just stopping doing government.
He's going to get an XM radio satellite show, probably.
That would be awesome.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
It'd be awesomer if he got his own TV show.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah,
it'd
TV.
It'd be awesomer if he invented some kind of anti-state protection suits that he would hand out to all the ANCAPs.
Software that just turns the government off and it can't find you. Like, it puts you into stealth mode in your daily life, walking down the street and driving.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great? I was talking to a status friend of mine yesterday.
Why? You have status friends? You're so square. You still have hope that you can cure those junkies in your life.
I have no hope with this particular status friend anymore. But we've known each other for, like, ever, I guess. I guess that's not really an excuse, but I feel some kind of obligation. And, you know, sometimes I have
That's codependent, man. Dump him. carry the message, not the addict.
Well, I gain something. It's not just altruism. I do feel slightly better, especially if I have problems, because he's one of those people that will only talk about his own problems and never ask you what's going on. So it's a good way to get your mind off of your own problems. That's one of the other things the Dalai Lama said when I saw him give that speech where he said, F it, was he said, you know, if it can often be helpful to worry about bigger problems than your own personal problems, or something, or maybe even worry about somebody else's problems and help them with that. It can get your mind off of your own and help to clear the area in your brain.
That's true. I mean, they teach that in AA too. It's not.
Do they? You know,
Dalai Lama makes it sound really hippie to me, but yeah. I mean, that's the whole point of the 12th step is carrying the message to other addicts and other alcoholics. Basically, you stay sober by helping other people, even if they don't stay sober. And that's the key. It's like, you know, people will be sponsoring someone and go like, none of my sponsees stay sober. And then like, you know, their sponsor will say, hey, you know, you're staying sober, right? And like I've said a lot of times, you know, sometimes I would sponsor the unsponsorable, like the guys that just kept relapsing. And one of them robbed a bank. And, you know, I mean, she went to prison and like, I don't know, like 5-10 years later, some of those people find me on the U Facebook, on the U Face space and are like, hey man, you saved my life. Thank you.
I thought it was the U twat face.
Mm-hmm. We were looking this morning at a list of fictional social networks. It's pretty in media. It's pretty funny. Want to read some of them?
Yeah. Let's go through some of those.
I thought there were more, man. I thought there were more. I mean, there are, but this is just like five. But they're pretty funny.
There probably is. Here's the one you probably know. Face Union from Law and Order.
Law and Order. It is. It's like they've created that for their whole universe. On all of the Law and Orders, whatever city they're in, that's the social network. And I like how they say
that. How status is that name, too? Union? Like Union. It's some Lincolnian thing? Yeah.
I know. Wow. I like how they say that it's... like its capabilities seem to expand to fit whatever the writers for the plot need.
right. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't watch any of those shows, so you probably know a lot more about that.
You know, I saw an interesting, there was a Miami CSI that I watched the other day that was about a death pool, like, you know, a death pool where people bet on celebrities when they're going to die. And somebody was killing the celebrities to make the money. We've talked about that before, but not with celebrities. But
I, when you said death pool, I thought it was some kind of death clock knockoff or something, like a pool of blood where you
death pool. No, yeah. Death Clock did a movie, a major Hollywood movie called Blood Ocean that was horrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They also recorded on water as the medium.
You love that. You love that.
I love that because I wish I could do it.
They also recorded underwater in a nuclear Russian submarine in the bottom of the Marianas Trench, the deepest, darkest place on Earth.
Does the dude who makes that show, I mean, he plays the music, right? Like he writes the music and plays the metal?
I mean, he has other people in it. He plays the guitar and maybe the bass and is the singer. And he voices some of the people on it, but other people, including Mark Hamill, voice the other people on it. Jeanine Garofalo voiced somebody.
And they also are a real band, and they tour?
They put together a band and tour. I think they play like behind, they have projections, and then they play either behind a curtain or in darkness where you could barely see them, or in the orchestra pit or something.
Ah, okay. Yeah, because... I saw a marquee the other night when I was driving downtown and Death Clock was playing. And I thought, man, I wish I wasn't working because I'd totally go watch Death Clock.
Yeah. I'm going to post this picture of Frank Fidati I posted it on the U Twat Facebook and now I'm pasting it into.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, should we continue down the list of fictional Twitters, twatters?
Yeah.
Twatnesses. You Twit Face. From Conan O'Brien, which is, I guess, what you said earlier. But I didn't know that that's where it's from. I thought you made it up, you twit face.
I thought I did too, but is it in? It's from something?
The Conan O'Brien show.
You twit face. Yes. Yeah. DJ calls Twitter twatter and tweeting twatting. You know, I was thinking about the name Twitter. It's, you know, I was thinking it was kind of like, you know, like our little thing we chat back and forth with is called pigeon. You know, it's like messenger pigeons. But Twitter isn't really about like messenger pigeons. It's more about
yelling across
the alley to the other birds. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because birds communicate, man.
They do.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times they don't have a lot to say. You know, I was thinking, I was listening to an old show of ours today, and we were talking about you gesticulating while you talk and turning off your transmitter by accident. Remember that when your mother was on? And I said it was your Italian blood you got from your mother that makes you wave your hands. And you said, well, you know, people in Iran do that too. Iranians do that too. It's an old world thing. And I was thinking, I wonder if that goes back to when language was really primitive. You know, when... Huh. When you can't think of a word for something, you tend to gesticulate with your hands. And maybe before there were a lot of words for things in ancient civilization, people moved their hands a lot because they were like, you know what I mean? That thing that...
maybe, yeah. Sort of like, what's that game? Charades.
Man, people
sort
are
like
making charades. Fun of me for watching Status Cop shows on the chat
room. Good, yes.
I don't
horizontally
know,
liberate Michael's eyes from that Status nonsense.
Well, put it this way. As soon as there's 100 episodes high quality produced of something else that's not Status, I'll watch it. Oh, when we're done
there
with
is.
This
it's
list.
It's called The Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, well, I listen to that a lot too. But there's a really horrible Status review of our Guns and Weed movie that I want to read.
Oh, I'm going to stick my fingers in my ears and go, la, 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 la. No, you should read it.
Okay, you want to finish the fictional face?
Yeah, yeah. So
I like finger tagging on the U face on 30 Rock.
Yeah, it sounds
like
dirty.
Finger banging, I know.
Yeah, finger bang, bang. And there's also face walls, life. Bing bings, and finger tagging. Okay.
Yeah, they worked that one out a little more. I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, and it was like, it was owned by GE. And, you know, what was the old one that no one uses anymore?
MySpace.
U-Space? Yeah, MySpace. I couldn't even remember. MySpace is owned by Fox, you know, so it's kind of a takeoff
on
that, like immediate. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this is interesting. I was there's somebody that wants to interview us. Brendan Fraser, is that his name?
I think it's Nathan Fraser.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked him up, and I think he's a rapper, and I went to find his rap musical style, his rap music group songs, yeah. And as my dad would say, and the only place I could find them was on MySpace. And I'm like, that still exists? And I went there and logged in, and like the player came up, and his song was there, and I listened to it. And then below that, there was a song by the band The Fiends. And I'm like, I never went on MySpace and listened to The Fiends. You know that?
Huh. Yeah.
We just found them because they come up in searches with us on the iTunes face mash. Yeah. But, but then the song below that was this band Insecto, this song called Alien Baby. And I'm like, I used to play in that band. And I've never heard this version of it. And I was like, and I'm thinking like, is that because like 6 years ago, the last time I logged into my face space pace, I looked at the Insecto page or something and it remembered and stalked me? Or is it just, or maybe. Did Brendan Fraser have this as, you know, on his playlist? I couldn't tell, but it was a really weird coincidence.
Well, we can ask him.
Or not. Yeah, coincidence.
Or not. Yeah, whatever.
Nathan Fraser. Nathan Fraser sounds like a founding father, doesn't it?
Maybe. Nathan's
Hale.
Old sounding name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the most Status people I know is named Nate in San Francisco. Usually he was the first guy I blocked on.
Because it rhymes with state.
He was the first guy I blocked on U-Face.
Nice.
You know, he was okay, remember when we had the argument about like, you know, Kelly and Betty and like we made up female names for the people that were calling me horrible names because I didn't love the state.
Oh, yeah.
He was one of them, was Nate.
Ah.
Yeah.
You gave him a girl's name?
Yeah.
You got so mad at me for getting in that internet fight on Facebook where I called the guy a girl.
I guess I felt better because mine was like more crafted than yours, you know.
Yeah.
Yours was, just oh, yelling. Yeah? Well, you're a girl.
You have a vagina.
Yeah. Yeah. And mine was, I scripted mine and, you know, thought it out.
I see. Okay.
I was cooler in my second gradeness. So where were we?
Yeah. Well.
Oh, we need new, you know, we need new cat herders for our Facebook. One of them is quitting Facebook, which is good. But I don't know that we need it. Nobody answered our cry for new cat herders on Facebook. But if you want to be the, like, you know, the backup guy that posts all our stuff to a couple of our pages on there, drop us an email at talkback@freedomfiends.com. Yes. It has to be someone we've talked to before. But right. I looked on Facebook without logging in. I can't log in. But somebody is posting them. Somebody's posting semi-regularly.
Okay, cool.
Maybe it's Frank.
Cool. I think, can't you set it up with an RSS feed to where it'll automatically echo across all those pages?
I don't want to do that. I want someone to spend their time doing it. And then, because then they can,
you want them
they
to
can
sacrifice for the fiends?
They can personalize it more.
Well, when I worked at the news station in Washington State, whenever you'd tweet something, it would automatically go to Facebook.
Well, if someone knows how to do that, set it up.
Okay. All right.
So screw the rest of these fake.
No. I wanted to get to the last one.
All right. Because you know what it is, and I don't. And yes. I'll go. Yes. You'll go. You don't know what that is, Michael. But I know what snow crash is, and that's in there.
I didn't know what that was.
William Gibson invented the internet, literally. Wrote about an internet like thing in books in the 60s, and then geeks read the books and went, "Oh, let's invent that." Yeah. So he's cooler than all of them. But
because this next one is kind of derivative of that. It's whatever the Wigan siblings were using. If anybody's read Ender's Game. You know what I'm talking about. And the reason I wanted to bring it up is I want to ask if there's any kind of fiends out there, anybody that knows of a libertarian or anarchist analysis of the Ender's Game series. Because I read it, when I was in high school and I was a statist. And now when I look at it, when I think of the premise, it's basically the government stole babies from parents, put them into military schools. You know, they would test them and see who had the biggest aptitude for being in the military because they were supposedly fighting this war.
State-o-meter over them and say, the statism is strong in this one.
Right.
Oh, Snow Crash is not William Gibson. It's Neil Stephenson and Stevenson. Oh. But he's a contemporary of William Gibson. And William Gibson invented the internet. And Stevenson was writing in the 70s about, cryptology, crypto-anarchy, and things like the internet. But no, it was William Gibson in the book Neuromancer, I believe, invented the internet.
Okay. Well, they would steal babies and they would put them in these military schools and they would practice this game that was like battle school, and it was like football but in zero gravity and with guns. And then they took Ender, who was like the best one, and they put him in these simulations, and he thought he was playing a game, but in reality he was controlling like the actual army or space army or whatever. And they annihilated or committed xenocide against a whole species of aliens. And it turns out like the aliens weren't even that much of a threat to Earth, like they had wanted to stop fighting. So Ender feels really guilty about it, and everybody calls him the xenocide, and it's this horrible thing. So I don't know if that would happen in real life. I think in real life, if something like the American state genocided a whole race of people, people would still be like, well, they deserved it, Merca, or something like that.
Merca.
Yeah, I guess the reason they put it in here is one of the other interesting things is I'm pretty sure it was written before the internet was at least big, like before there was Facebook and MySpace and blogging. And Ender's little brother and I think his little sister, who are almost as smart as him or as smart as him or whatever, but didn't get picked for the military thing, they actually end up taking over the world and setting up a world government by playing off of each other's writings on the internet. Like one will demagogue for this way and one will demagogue for that way. And they use it to their advantage. It's sort of like a chess game and they take over the world. So I always think I'm kind of like doing that when I'm on the internet. Or I guess I used to. I'm not a statist anymore, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. William Gibson invented the internet or the World Wide Web in 1984 in his book Neuromancer, and it was called The Matrix in that book, which is where the Matrix takes its title from. And it was kind of more like the Matrix movies. It wasn't just, sharing pictures of cats. It was like you could enter
the thing.
You
plugged yourself into it?
Yeah. Yeah. So
like the internet in that episode of Futurama where it's like a virtual reality.
Yeah. And the iPhone is something they implant painfully into your eye.
Yeah.
People line up to have it done. So some dumb sheriff in Wyoming, I don't know who it was, but DJ heard it on the radio and I can't find it, said that the thing that California and Denver don't realize about these legal pot selling places, the thing people don't realize about it is those places are getting their drugs from Mexican cartels. And I'm like, what? They let you on the air, man. They let him on the air and they don't let it when we're not on the air.
Right.
That is so not true. No, they legally grow it and pay taxes on it and improve the economy in a statist way and improve the economy in a non-statist way. And and it reduces the demand.
In Colorado, they have a camera on the growing operation. The state literally Big Brother monitors you growing the pot and then putting it in jars.
How soon before they put that in your home for anything you want to do that's out of the ordinary? You need a free speech license. We saw you registered your Shure microphone. Right. You need to pay to install this webcam that only we can see.
Yes.
And you can't. Yeah.
Or you're a heterosexual that wants to have anal sex. I'm sorry, but we're going to have to record that and make sure it's not sodomy.
I think it's getting to the point where it's like, you're a heterosexual who wants to have a baby. You need a license for that.
Wouldn't they love that, though? The state loves to destroy the family. That's kind of the whole concept of Brave New World, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's one thing that the Christian Republicans sort of half get right is calling the Democrats anti-family, but you know, it's not that they hate God and they hate, you know, your values. It's that your values in that way conflict with the state being the God and kicking God and right. the father and the mother off, you know, the family off the throne. Like,
well, you have loyalty and loyal yeah. feelings to something other than the state. Oh, I guess it was in 1984 too, because that's why they were trying to eliminate the orgasm, because the orgasm would make you feel some kind of attachment or affection for your wife or husband, whereas the state just wanted you to do your duty to the party and not really think
about it. I prefer Brave New World, where like everybody has sex with everybody, but it's state control, but at least you're having sex with everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's Although, a softer tyranny.
Also in Brave New World, they make the state out to be sort of pedophilic, don't they? Because the young preteens have sex parties or sex education play.
Yeah.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Yeah, man, the state wants to do
so
evil things.
Read what some horizontal enforcer of the state said about our movie. And when you get to the quote parts, you don't need to read all the quotes from the movie that he posted. But I will point out that this person actually watched the movie and transcribed a bunch of quotes from it to make his point of how we're wrong. They, you know, they didn't just say, like, the accuracy in media people said, like, oh, this movie's horrible. It's going to destroy America. America.
Yeah.
You know, these people, like, America. Analyzed our movie like they were writing a term paper. It was pretty interesting. So go ahead and read that. I posted
Maybe
it in
were.
The...
This is from thoughtfulliving.org. The thing is think before you trust. And to give you a sense of into, the tabs on the top are farm foods, veganism, marijuana legalization, medical marijuana, myths about marijuana, professional resource. So right now it sounds almost like they're into the weed, but they're scared of guns.
I think they're myths about marijuana. Well, let's see. What are their myths about marijuana? That it's harmless or that it's harmful?
It sounds like they're pro-marijuana so far, but let's look at their myths for marijuana. Oh, maybe they're anti-marijuana.
I think I got the feeling the whole site was anti-freedom
of
all kinds.
Right. Myth one is marijuana has never killed anyone. And to debunk it, they use this example. 14 Amtrak riders were killed in a collision with a Conrail freight train in 1987 when the freight train's engineer and his brakeman had been smoking marijuana.
That wasn't marijuana killing somebody.
Right. Problems with causation, buddy. Hey.
Yeah. Oh, that's the whole point of the article that they wrote. And I also want to point out the name of this site is thoughtfulliving.org, which is more Orwellian speak, like accuracy in media. Yeah, these people.
So let's read their review. On December 5th, 2012, the day that weed became legal in Washington state, two hooded intruders were shot to death during a break-in attempt into a marijuana growing operation in Puyallup. The large gated home had a six-car garage with a loft above where marijuana was grown. The 35-year-old owner was being held for questioning by police since his possession exceeds the legal limits. On the other hand, a resident of Orting, Washington, was beaten to death while defending his marijuana plants. Guns and Weed, a documentary film released in 2011, gives insights into the mind of those calling for legalizing marijuana. Guns and Weed go together, and the incident in Puyallup in Washington is only one of so many incidents suggesting that gun defenders and marijuana growers are not peace lovers at all.
Puyallup? Is that really how you say that? Isn't it Puyallup?
I should know.
It's Puyallup. Puyallup.
Sounds I call like it Puyallup because that's how we would say it in Texas. So F how those weird Western Yankees say it. I'm going to call it Puyallup.
Someone in the chat room said that whose name is Pooplicated, which I really like. It's catching on. Said that the word Al Gore sounds like a fungus if you say it as one word. I'm sorry, ma'am. You're suffering from Al Gore of the foot. Are you suffering from Al Gore?
Yeah. Yeah.
Try Compliacin with vitamin A plus. It removes your thoughts and your Al Gore.
Yes, yes. All right. So let's see. Where am I?
Pull y'all up. More like push y'all down. That's what this guy wants to do.
Exactly.
He's all like a crab. If you're trying to get out of the bucket, he wants to pull y'all down.
Okay, so here's where I left off. Guns and Weed presents the arguments of those who cry loudly for freedom and against any type of government involvement in our lives. Oh no. All right. Humboldt, California is the nation's largest marijuana growing center, but the only county in California which bans raw milk. Although the movie has a tiny interlude about raw milk, it fails to mention this great irony of marijuana capital clamping down on raw milk freedom.
No, it does. We don't. We say that all tyranny connects to all other tyranny. We don't make that direct connection about raw milk, but you know, the whole point of the movie is if you try to outlaw one thing, you're outlawing everything, even the things you like. We make that point.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole point of the movie, guy. I mean, I guess it's a small, tiny example. It would have been a good example to put in there that, hey, this county that's the largest marijuana grower clamps down on raw milk. It'd be a great example of how the state is inconsistent and evil. But I don't think you can say that we missed the whole point by missing one example.
You know, I would really like to have a director's commentary where, like, when people like this watch it, we get to have a camera into their home and just yell at them when they say wrong things. That's my kind of director's commentary.
Oh, like a libertarian telescreen.
Yes,
like a
libertarian telescreen.
That's not inconsistent at all.
You know, somebody had a showing of our movie like in a restaurant in Phoenix the other day. I liked it. Did you see that? Yeah, it was on Freedom's Phoenix. That's how I found out about it. It was like it already happened, but it was like, yeah, meet us at this restaurant, and then we'll sit.
That's why FIP, because when we talked to Ernest Hancock the first time, he was like, "I'm gonna like burn a million copies of this and give it out to anyone," and you were like, "Yeah." And now I'm like, F yeah, man.
I was in my minarchist phase about everything, including IP, and IP is something I clung to beyond when I said I was an anarchist. For a few more weeks, I was like an anarchist who wanted pro IP, where you know. I guess if you bootleg my stuff, I send L. Neil Smith over to shoot you or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. While freedom is a founding principle of this country, we have to be careful when advocates who say, my freedom comes at the expense of everyone else. Where do we draw a line? Ugh. Marijuana and gun right advocates typically throw up a defense mechanism against reasonable discussion by suggesting those who disagree are either tyrants, evil, or idiots.
They
draw the line in the movie. The line is called the non-aggression principle.
Wait, tired. Was one of those tired? What do we call tyrants?
Those who disagree are either tyrants, evil, or idiots.
Oh, I thought the middle one was tired. I like tired. You tired, boring old man.
No, they're too cliche for that.
Who wrote this? Does it say?
It's got an internet name called Thoughtfulness.
Not Pooplicated. Thoughtfulness. Yeah. Oh, man.
Thoughtfulness.
That's Orwellian.
Right. But yeah, man.
It's
we
a
have
lady.
A whole segment.
It's a lady.
We, Is it? Okay. We have a whole segment in the movie about the non-aggression principle. We were going to have a bigger segment, but it's still there. And that's where the line is, man. If you don't hurt anybody, nobody can hurt you. It's the golden rule. It's the non-aggression principle. It's an obvious, easy line that's natural to human beings. So I'll move on. In the movie, a major argument used against gun control is that Pol Pot and Joseph Stalin imposed gun control on citizens before committing horrendous crimes and mass murder against their people. In short, they suggest the U.S. government would want the same thing.
They did and they will.
Yeah, she says that like it's just unbelievable. It's not unbelievable.
I mean, it's already happening. I mean, that kid that was droned because his father was someone Obama didn't like. You know, that's the beginning of it, really. I mean, the beginning of it is like what the CIA has been doing since the 50s and probably like what George Washington did to people he didn't like. But
and what those in unintended consequences, those veterans who went to get their bonus early and were killed.
That's,
in Washington,
that happened. That's not just an unintended consequence.
Yeah, but that's real. That's,
and it was great American war heroes who were very respected by vets. Yeah. You know, that's one thing I told my stepson was like, you know, you should look at how they treated vets historically. You know, it goes back to way before Vietnam.
Or rounding up all Japanese citizens and putting them in concentration camps.
The thing is, the person who wrote this article won't recognize mass slaughter of Americans, you know, when the boot comes down, even when it's happening.
Right.
I mean, okay, if they reinstate the assault weapons ban, there's millions of people who will not comply and thousands of them will be murdered for it. And this person will not see this as any parallel to what happened with Pol Pot.
Right.
You know, and even to take it away from Hitler, like, you know, with Pol Pot, it was like, it was, well, I guess it was people who were the same race, but a different ethnicity, sub ethnicity of the race, same as in Germany.
Right. Well, here's another concept is, you know, Hitler, I've heard it said that what would have happened if Hitler was winning the war? You know, he didn't start actually murdering and doing these vast gassings of the Jews in the concentration camps until it was apparent to him that the time was getting near that he would lose and he'd have to crap or get off the pot. You know, what if America were losing the war? I wouldn't be surprised at all if in some kind of alternate universe or alternate part of the multiverse, FDR actually did kill the Japanese citizens because the Japanese were winning the war in the Pacific and he was getting scared. You know, we don't know what would have happened. And I don't put it past them. I mean, FDR is the same guy who stole everyone's gold by executive order, who said, hey, I know you were buying things with this yesterday, but today if you do that, you're a felon. He created the crime, like it said in that Missouri bill. He just created it as a crime. So, I don't know, man. Plus, at this point, hasn't the United States government killed more people than Hitler has? I mean, through all of its wars, if you take it from...
Oh, in single wars, man. In the American Civil War, more Americans were killed than Hitler killed in World War II. And, you know, how many did they kill in Vietnam? How many, you know, non-Americans
Are you sure
Americans?
That? I mean, I thought the number was like 6 million. Okay.
No. Oh, six, wow. That wasn't... No. My number is... Lincoln
who
killed,
died in the war.
Lincoln killed more Americans than Hitler killed Americans.
Ah, okay, got it. Well, just wanted to clarify then. But still,
yeah, man.
The United States government does massacre people all the time. They are a massacre, horrible state. So I don't buy your argument that you're just dumb if you think the government is tyrannical and would kill you. Jeez. Yeah, you're the one who's not being thoughtful there.
Is there more of this craptacular in her review?
Yeah, so she has a lot of quotes from the movie. Do you want me to read some of these or none
read
of them?
Two
or?
Of them. Two of them. How's that?
All right.
And then what she says about it.
Okay. Let's see. Public schools are the ultimate authoritarian tool. Teachers' unions support the slave camps of the indoctrination system. That's obviously from us. To disarm the people is to enslave them. Those who would enslave us in this country, Chuck Schumer, Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Barack Obama. All right. And let's see. I'll go ahead and read the last one just because that's where she comes off of. So the last of these quotes from our movie that this person has in their article is, "You can't have civil liberties and be against ownership of guns. Our right to bear arms allows physical defense of our rights." So I'll go ahead and continue on with her train here. Those who call for legalization say it will take the profits away from criminals and Mexican cartels, though the crime rate was already drastically reduced last year in Mexico ahead of legalization, where marijuana grows have been tolerated for a long time. In Mendocino County, California, marijuana has choked out the forest on national lands, and marijuana growers have used pesticides and caused unprecedented damage to the environment for all the residents. Is that really your argument? Is that marijuana growing is bad for the environment?
Well, it is when people have to do it in a secret way.
Although I think she would be saying, in Mendocino County, I think it's pretty, I mean, it's legal, right? These are legal grows. But I guess I would come at that from private property thing. Like, it doesn't seem like she has any good examples of it being, of the pollution being externalized. And if you're changing use of land from, you know, random national fallow land, you know, public land, to something that's being used to grow marijuana, then obviously it's not going to be the pristine thing it was, but it's being used for something else. It's now being used to please consumers of a certain plant, which it shouldn't be up to people to argue with each other what's the best use of it. It should be up to who's using it, who can claim some kind of ownership or lease it from the BLM or however you work it out there. You know, it shouldn't be up to somebody complaining that, hey, it's ruining the land. Well, that could be their land. You know, if you want to ruin your own land, go for it. I don't believe the war on drugs is winnable, one person says in the movie. The spokesman obviously forgot the U.S. government is not calling it a war on drugs any longer. What?
Well, it didn't make any sense to me either.
It doesn't matter what they call it, does it? I mean, that's still what it is.
I know. What are they calling it? I missed that memo.
I did too. I mean, I guess I haven't heard. I guess maybe she's right, though. The only people I
think they call it the war on terrorism now and just included in that. I told Ben to call in. Ben just wrote me and said something really nice about our secret website.
Ooh.
Man, okay. This story, someone says, this story is killing my buzz. Yeah. Is there any more? Can we sum it up and get off it? I hate this lady. She's so square. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll end it just so it doesn't end abruptly.
Right.
With, her last paragraph. The filmmakers appear to believe the quote-unquote war on guns and quote-unquote war on weeds. I don't think we ever called it. Did we ever call it the war
on weeds? No. Maybe, war on the rock musical groups.
Right. Are about the same thing. The premise stated in Guns and Weeds. Oh, she even spells it wrong. The premise stated in Guns and Weeds are absolute beliefs and ultimatums of fear. There is a middle road, and the middle road on these issues needs to be heard too.
Wow. That's
an important
thing. You know, I rarely see anything, not even just about me, but I rarely see a centrist argument anymore. And I think our argument is a centrist argument in its own way. Guns and weed.
Well,
it's the new centrism. That's what it is. Oh, that'd be a good name for an episode. Guns and weed, the new centrism.
I think there can be a middle ground on things that are preferences. You know, how many nachos you eat, you know, or how much soda or beer you drink. I think there can be a middle ground because it's not wrong.
Not in New York City.
Right.
They register your assault sodas in New York
register
City.
Register your big gulps, yeah. But I think it's really important that's the only kind of sphere that I think a middle ground can even be moral. If something is on its face philosophically immoral, if something is a violation of the non-aggression principle, if you're using violence to get your ways, there is no middle ground. There's no a little bit of violence is okay. It just doesn't work like that.
But we're moderates. We like guns and weed.
We like guns and weed. Yeah. But the minute you use violence to force people into doing something, doesn't matter if you do it a little bit or you only force certain people, it's wrong no matter what. A little bit of it is not okay. A middle ground is not appropriate. A middle ground of massacre is not appropriate. If I kill 100 people, it's not better than if I – well, I guess maybe it is. But it's not acceptable. It's no more acceptable
than if
I kill 100,000 people. Yeah, there you go. It's no more moral.
Which is, you know, kind of bizarre because statists love to say Hitler killed 6 million people. And, you know, then they're also wearing a T-shirt of, you know,
Mao, who killed way
more. And they're defending their own politicians who kill thousands.
Yeah, but they never think that.
Don't register your microphones, people.
I wonder that sometimes too. Do Barack Obama supporters just not know because no liberal journalist tells them
they don't know
about these things?
Or they paint it in a way of like, you know, Obama made you safer today by killing some Al-Qaeda's who were doing jumping jacks. So we think they're Al-Qaeda's. They're doing jumping jacks.
They're doing jumping jacks.
That's actually a thing now.
Everybody knows that Westerners do Pilates now.
Yeah, they can kill you now. If that's one of the CIA's indicators of, you know, if you're doing jumping jacks in the Middle East.
Yeah,
they can kill you.
It was part of the signatures in the signature strikes, right? Like that's a clue. You're doing jumping jacks, you could be a terrorist.
Signature strikes. Kind of like assault weapons used to have three indicators, and now they have one of what makes them scary and black.
Yeah. If you sit on the ground to eat with your family instead of in a chair, you may be an Al-Qaeda.
Yeah. I'm calling Ben.
You're so, calling Ben? Is it that we now have a call-in show where we
call
our
guests?
We have
a call-out show, man. This is a call-out show. Yeah. Yeah, so last week's show, I want to say, Ben.
Oh, here, Ben. You know, maybe he's in
Ben,
some kind of...
call the fiends. We're live. Oh, he's calling me. Hang on. Yep, that's him. All right. Ben, what's up? Ben, you're on the radio.
I don't hear Ben.
Talk, Ben.
Ben.
Talk.
Well, it's good. I don't know how good my audio is.
It sounds horrible. Call in, man. Call in on the Fiends.
It sounds horrible.
We've turned into
it's awful.
Call,
you suck.
We've turned into a call out show instead of a call in show. Call in.
All right. So, man, you really want to talk to Ben?
We're live, man. Call me in. Call us. Bye. Yeah. So, yeah, I really want to talk to Ben. So,
yeah.
No.
He's And now for our musical break.
Yeah. Hello? Not this number, Ben.
I need you to be patient, Michael. Ben will call.
Okay, so
in.
I got something to say. We got a little time here. We did a double ender cast the other day with a show clock that had a lot more editing. It was practice for if we ever get on radio for non-live shows. Somebody complained about it. They said, your show sounds great, but the amount of ads was as bad as Free Talk Live's. Please lessen the ads. Thanks. It was exactly as many ads as Free Talk Live because we copied their program clock, their show clock for it.
Yeah.
So, which is a standard radio show clock. Like if we're on talk radio, that's what it's going to be. So I spent 10 hours editing that. I spent 10 hours editing that thing you didn't like. So, it was a test. We're not going to do that. And if we end up getting on radio and then archive the shows a week later, I will trim some of the ads out. That's my promise to you.
If yes. I thought it was a win. I thought you were committed to this, Michael.
Yeah.
You're waffling.
That's just call me Rupert Pumpkin, man. Rupert Pumpkin.
Pumpkin? What's Rupert Pumpkin?
Oh, it's from the movie.
Is that one of your rock musical bands?
No, it's from The King of Comedy. It's a Scorsese movie with De Niro playing a failed comic who lives in his mother's basement at 35 and kidnaps Jerry Lewis to get on his TV show and becomes big. We're not going to do that, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
And to all those radio programmers listening out there, don't worry. That's not us.
You know, although doing that double ender
Bean
radio
phone.
Format show.
Bean phone.
Oh, yeah, go on. Go ahead. I'll put
Bean
Ben on
phone.
Hold.
No,
Bean?
Fun talk.
Yeah, Ben, go ahead. Ben Ghazi, what's up?
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller. I'd like to complain about your show.
Complain.
Okay.
I wish I could listen to it right now, actually, but my internet connection's so poor that I can't even get to it.
You didn't re-register your internet.
Say that again?
Nima, I got to go let my cat in. Talk to Ben.
Okay. How
my
you
cat's
doing, Ben?
Knocking at the door.
You still in Alabama? Can you hear me, Ben?
I am. I'm at a different location, but we're kind of moving around the state.
Are you going to become a Southerner? We would be happy to have you. There's no need to be a Yankee anymore this day and age.
That's true. We had thought about going into Texas on this trip, but we'll probably wait till our next trip. But that was kind of on our list.
Yeah, man. Texas is beautiful too, especially out here in the hill country. Do you hike at all? I would love to go on a hike with the Bad Quaker.
We're taking pretty long walks, but I wouldn't really call it hiking because there's not really any place to hike that we've found around here.
Okay. So you and your wife have been doing long walks on the beach?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Is that what the kids call it these days?
Yeah, yeah. That's the politically correct term.
Excellent, excellent. Well, yeah. Any stories from the road, man? We want to hear about how the bad Quaker does a road trip.
First of all, I want to know what you think of the new secret website that cannot be named. What do you think of that we're doing with you?
I like it.
Yeah?
I like it. I think it's pretty nice.
Good.
Yeah, I think we're going in a good direction there.
Good. Yeah. Take back the airwaves. We want the airwaves, and we want them now. Joe Strummer promised us a radio station, and we're still waiting, said the band Crass.
One of the things about what we may be doing with Ben...
You got quiet, Nima. You got quiet.
Okay, I'm back on the mic. I was a little bit stepped back. Ben, one of the thoughts we've been talking about is how would you feel about talking more about theology and not feeling guilty when you talk about it? Is that something you'd be interested in doing?
Yeah, I think I'd be comfortable with doing that. I've tried to make my show, you know, not like a Christian show. But
I want you on the radio in the Midwest when people drive through. I want you going, and the seven signs of evil of Jesus will rain down upon you if you covet your own wife.
It's wow. Funny because the local television station that we can get here in the park that we're in,
Alabama,
as you're flipping through the stations, you're almost guaranteed that one of the local stations is going to have a preacher screaming at the top of his lungs at the TV.
At the what?
At the camera of the TV.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Nima registered his microphone. He's going to get his door kicked in. He did. He registered a little card and sent it in for the rebate. And I'm telling people, the name of today's episode is Don't Register Your Microphones.
They can get my microphone when they pry it from my cold, dead hands.
Oh, that's what the Bearcats are going to say on the side. Prying your guns and microphones out of your cold, dead hands.
Ben, you started a barroom fight on Facebook the other day with your question about circumcision. And one of our fiend helpers decided he got really upset, and he was like, well, I'm taking my ball and going home. I just don't ever feel like I'm attacked for my religion, except when I'm talking to liberty circles. There was one person in particular on there that was being kind of mean, or really mean, actually, when talking to this friend of ours. And I'm just wondering, how do you feel about that? Do you feel like there's certain parts of the liberty circle that's hostile towards theology or religion? And I guess, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, there are. Kyle
Bennett is, but I like Kyle Bennett anyway.
There are, specifically, there are atheists who are not comfortable, I believe, this is my accusation, I believe that they're not comfortable in their lack of theology, if we can say it that way, mm-hmm. And because of their lack of comfort in their own, in their own belief system or non-belief system, they feel the need to attack anyone, viciously attack anyone that they perceive as being superstitious, and and they'll do it ruthlessly without the slightest amount of respect for the individual.
Right. Just ad hominem attacks.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm also wondering, it seems like it's a really interesting question to think about, especially the circumcision one is a good way to view it, is somebody who's maybe an atheist and an anarchist would say, non-aggression principle, and they would consider, chopping off some foreskin of your baby an act of aggression, whereas somebody who maybe is a theist or has some certain beliefs where they think that, God instructed me to do this. How do you square that circle? Is it okay? Is that a violation of the non-aggression principle to do that to your child or not? And if it is, do people get a pass because their religion tells them it's okay?
Well, like almost anything else like this, my go-to answer is going to be, well, in the long run, right now the market is distorted, by the government's actions in the medical industry. Right. But there was no government, and in the long run, when liberty finally wins and and all these different problems are sorted out, the market will figure out an answer through, you know, community pressures. And I think there might be pockets of people who do things that that everybody else believes is you know, aggression or is horrible or is ruthless or is terrible. You know, there'll be pockets of communists and there'll be pockets of, you know, little fascist communities and stuff. But as long as those people are there voluntarily, they aggress on each other all they want. You know, it's kind of not our business, as long as they're away from us, leaving us alone. So the same thing with somebody who wants to circumcise their child. You know, I think in a perfect libpair world, those people would eventually be ostracized either voluntarily, you know, through public pressure, they'll go off on their own, or through shaming, you know, eventually logic, I think, will win out.
And how do you feel about it from a theological perspective? Do you think there's an imperative?
I want to know who the hell is trying to call in while Ben Stone, a great man, is speaking. That is not cool. I also want to interject before Ben answers that question. I'm reading about an ATF botched sting operation where they set up a head shop that bought guns called Fearless Distributing. And it just sounds like that's a combination of, like, they've been reading about Cody Wilson and us, you know, watching the Guns and Weed movie and reading about Defense Distributed, and like, hey, let's start a head shop that trades in illegal guns. And like, nobody traded with them because everyone was like, narc. You have a narc length beard, man.
Yeah.
But come on, man. Really? A head shop called Fearless Distributing. Fearless Distributing sounds like somewhere that, you know, on the Roadrunner, where like Wile E. Coyote would order things when Acme is out of something.
Yeah. Hey, man, if you've got the balls and inclination and you can afford to get in trouble and you're doing it for activism, more power to them. I mean, if you think you're going to have some kind of successful business that's turning a profit, I think you may be a little bit misguided. But if they're doing it to prove a point, I mean, that's kind of fun and interesting, I think.
ATF sets up fake guns and weed shop.
Oh, I missed that. The ATF was actually doing it?
Yeah. It's on the Silver Circle site. I'm twatting it on the face boards.
That brings up another interesting thing. Have you heard about these 80% quote unquote lowers, where they'll sell you a parts kit?
Oh, the parties.
Including the lower that is actually part of the gun. They say it's only 80% of a lower, so it doesn't count, doesn't have to be serialized, and it's completely legal even in places like California. And then you can go to parties where a machinist you know, sets up the machine that will actually cut it the appropriate way. You have to put it in and you have to press the button. But they sort of help to program the machine, kind of like those roll your own tobacco shops that started so that you could get out of paying the high taxes in places like Washington.
I just started a pod beef, a major pod beef, man. J. Neil Schumann, you know, J. Neil Schumann is one of those, isn't he one of those pro IP anarchist libertarians?
J. Neil Schumann, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the one who said, if you copy my stuff, you'll get not a lawyer letter, but you'll get a visit from the law firm of Smith & Wesson.
I thought that was L. Neil Smith, but anyway,
always get that wrong. Okay. L. Neil Smith never said anything like that.
Okay. They're both libertarian sci-fi writers who have a first initial, then a middle name, then a last name.
Yes, exactly.
But L. Neil Smith is also kind of pro-IP, but I like him. But J. Neil Schumann just posted on Twitter, all gun control is enforced by armed men. And I replied to him, so is all intellectual property.
Nice.
I haven't had a pod beef in a long time, man. It's like, I've been so mellow with everybody. I don't know what happened. I think the government flu, like, took some of the fight out of my brain, but now it's just all at the state. And now, like, everybody else, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, Derek J. and Adam Kokesh can arm wrestle, oil themselves up, and wrestle naked over it.
Well, a pod beef with somebody who's calling for more state is still beef directed at the state, right? Because the state is the concept of the state.
Yeah.
So that's where you need to be beefing with, is people who call for more state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Ben, should people chop off people's foreskin theologically? Do you think that that's what the Bible instructed?
There was a if you accept the Bible as it's, you know, as we have it today, as the absolute Word of God, then in the New Testament, the promise or the need for this covenant, that's the terminology they use, this covenant is fulfilled in Jesus, and the only people who were tied by the covenant to begin with were people specifically who were descended of Hebrews, who were Jews. So according to the Bible, the only people that are required to are Jews, and they're essentially released from it through through the sacrifice of Jesus. So from a strictly theological point of view, I would argue
Jesus
that
died for your
unless,
folks.
I just said on the chat room, quit trying to call in. A great man is speaking about Jeebus. Man, how many Christians would not only put up with that, but laugh along with it, and then with someone who's trying to get them on talk radio? Oops. Oh, damn, I said too much.
You let the cat out of the bag.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's about time for us to take a break. I mean, go sell some things. Do you want to stick around, Ben, or do you want to... What do you want to do?
Sure, for a couple minutes.
Let's talk more with you then, if you've got to go or your phone's failing or the hurricane's coming or the swamp monsters and rats and gators are going to eat you or the Leonard Skinner fans are going to eat you. So what do you think, Bean? What do you think, Ben? Bean. I almost called you Bean, man. I haven't talked to Bean in years.
I thought we were... is the commercial going right now?
No. You're live, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we got, because of our moving around the south from campground to campground, we got offered a free week in a campground, in a nice campground. So we took it, except they don't have an internet connection, so we're going to leave. Free is no good if it doesn't provide the basics for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'd rather pay a little bit for better internet than get it free and have it suck. So yeah. You've been doing the thing that we talked about with making a folder of stuff and doing stuff? The secret?
As far as just working on my computer.
Yeah, yeah.
And not on the internet. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, well, you can do it on the computer, and then, you know, if you have to, I mean, you could make 320K MP3s and send them to me from the next stop, and I could put first one together. But I've said too much, man. I've said too much. All right, man. We're going to go, Ben, and we're going to take, we're going to get you off the phone here. I'm going to hang up on a great man.
Okay. And we need to open the line for other people anyway.
Yeah. There are people trying to call in. It's really good talking to you, man. And I love you.
Hey, love you too.
Fag.
No homo.
All right. Called him a fag and hung up on him. Jeebus. Hi, Nima.
Mm. Hi. How's it going?
Good. You want to play a song?
Sure. What do we want to play?
I don't know, man. Why don't you play, something? You gonna play some hip-hop rap musical stylings? Black Rifle. That's racist.
Yeah, that's racist.
Yeah. Play some Bomb, someone said. We have a request. Wait, all I right. said Bomb on the internet. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Any specific Bomb song that they want to hear?
I don't know, man. Let's think about it.
Let's see. Let's
look at the Department of Homeland Security keyword not monitoring industrial band name generator and see who we should play. Play some radiation ammonium nitrate conflicker. What's a conflicker?
Is that really a song?
No. What's a conflicker?
Conflicker? It sounds pretty awesome.
I don't know.
It sounds like when I flick the ears of my dog.
Yeah.
His name is Con.
So you did want to talk about the what is it? Oh, it's a computer worm, Conflicker. So you did want to talk about the fact that the cops had a gun buyback somewhere and people showed up. Citizens showed up with signs that said, like, pay cash for your guns, top dollar for assault rifles.
Yeah, really awesome.
Nobody brings a good assault rifle to those gun buybacks, though. They bring, like, grandpa's broken 22 short that they couldn't sell a yard sale.
That's what I was thinking. You got to be pretty ignorant about guns and not really have any and just try to scramble up some stuff to get free gun
well,
money.
There's some places where they'll give you like $100 gift certificate for them. And I've heard of gun owners taking their crappy guns that they couldn't sell for $30 there and like selling them.
Nice, nice. Yeah. This one was actually the government's up in their price, though. They were offering $200 in gift certificates.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really want those guns.
There are definitely guns that you could, I mean, you could go buy a bunch of crappy guns for less than $200 and then sell them at that thing.
I always thought it was just the stupidest thing, though, these gun buybacks. Like, I don't know. Well, I can't imagine myself ever doing that.
Other than a lot of problems with that of, first of all, they can't buy back something they had. Second of all, it's immoral. Third of all, it's not reducing crime because criminals don't go to those things. Grandmas that have something rusting.
I didn't even think of that. It's immoral because they're paying for your guns with stolen money.
In a status sense, it is unconstitutional because the Constitution under eminent domain basically says that the government can pay for things to be used by the government, and that's it. And burning them or melting them is not using them by the government.
Well, I thought it wasn't even used by the government. I thought it had to be used for something vague like public good or public interest.
Well, there's somebody melting them into bracelets. Did you see that? Cory Booker?
Melting guns into bracelets?
Yeah. Newark, New Jersey, the place probably you most need a gun in America. Newark Mayor Cory Booker is melting government stolen guns and turning them into bracelets.
What would Pelosi do? Bracelets?
Yeah. And it's called the Caliber Collection. And it was premiered on the Rachel Maddow Show. The bracelets are made from metal from 250 guns and bullet casings seized by the Newark Police Department. And as part of the city's gun buyback program. Wait, seized? How is seized part of a gun buyback? I guess that's what passes for a gun buyback program. They seize you and take your house and throw you in a cage for not committing a real crime, and then they call that a buyback. But the bracelets are kind of flashy and, you know, classy looking to idiots, and they have the serial number of the gun that they're made from. It's the new like Livestrong bracelet.
Oh my god. Yeah. That reminds me, that's sick to me. That's like the people in Afghanistan who would cut off little boys' parts, fingers and ears, and wear them around their neck as a sign of their valor and victory, of which it is neither. That's what that reminds me of. It's like, we took these guns, we melted them down, and now you're looking at the dead pieces of gun to prove that we have that power. That is just sick. These statists are sick, man. They are evil and sick, and I hate them.
Yeah.
All right. I loved them, and then I died and had an awakening.
You're going to play I Loved You, Then I Died by Bomb?
I am. That is.
It says, I'd kill a million in every city for you. Someone was asking me the lyrics of this once on the Face page, on the U-Face, and I started typing it. And I'm like, I'm not going to type on the internet, I'd kill a million in every city for you. They're going to take it out of context and think I'm planning to go into competition with the government, who do want to kill a million in every city that own guns. Or they just won't comply. We will not comply.
Nice. Well, here you go.
All right. I'm going to insert that in the archive from the file. That sounded really muffled. And your bomb musical group sounds horrible, Nima.
Yeah, man. Sorry. It was quiet from the YouTube, man. It was the same volume I played everything else I played so far during the show at. You know, on the mixer,
well,
same treble.
Everything from Elvis in Hell is not recorded well onto the MP3 musical files.
That's what it sounded like. It was just
Next time we're gonna play a bomb song. Tell me which album you're playing it from, and I'll tell you anything from Elvis in Hell sounds horrible. So, the record sounded okay, but the only copy. I guess I need to buy a turntable and a cassette player because I also have this cassette of me at 18 doing a 1 hour instrumental suite of the Seasons called the Solstice Suite that I did for my communications class in college. I guess I went to J school too. It wasn't really J school, but I took communications classes, and that semester I got an A in that class and an F in everything else because I skipped all my classes to go sit in their little recording studio for 6 months and make this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did it sound better at the end there when I bumped it up a little bit? Maybe Okay. Yeah, that was it. It sounded loud enough to me in the headphones, but the headphones are a little bit louder than everything else.
So. I think there was a conflicker in it, man.
Conflicker, man. Yeah. For the live listeners, I'm sorry. For the non-live listeners, you don't know what the hell we're talking about because Michael inserted the original file and probably sweetened it up. So
I like how I'm yelling at you for playing my music.
Yeah. Oh, you played my music wrong. No, that makes sense, man. That makes complete sense. Like, I could see that. Like, I don't know. I feel like when I'm showing somebody my music, I want to control the way they're hearing it so they can hear it at its full capacity. Like, sometimes people will play their own music on the little crappy pawn shop stereo at the pizza shop, and you can't hear it, and it sounds like worse than it probably is. So I never want to do that because there's no subwoofer, it's broken, and there's a giant pizza oven with a fan going over it. And so, yeah, I totally understand that impetus or that feeling that, hey, if you're going to listen to me, listen to how it actually sounds, because of some bad encode or YouTube video or whatever.
Yeah, we need to be on radio.
Yeah. Plus, it's mono. I guess that. Did you guys use a lot of stereo spreads and stuff in the original?
Yeah, we spread a lot. Actually, isn't our stereo? I think it is stereo. I think our feed is stereo.
Mumble is not stereo, so I'm mumbling the sound to you. That's why.
Right. Yeah,
mumble
stream
is
stereo.
Yeah. The stream is stereo, but it's coming from a mono mumble signal.
Yeah, you're coming from a mono place of love.
Yeah.
So I want to do a shout out to our torrent fiend, Sean Duvalli. He said that my government flu finally got through the tubes to Massachusetts, and he's got it. And I feel bad for him. Not that I did it, but man, the government flu is horrible.
The government is a flu. They're a virus that infects your mind at an early age. I guess we already did come up with that concept. Inoculation from indoctrination.
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah.
You don't spend enough time on the fiend site, man. You're busy making a living and planning babies. It's weird. I'm trying to talk you out of having a baby. How wrong is that? Basically, I'm jealous already of the baby that you're going
to
have.
Oh, is that it? I need to buy you a gift basket?
But it's basically I barely get enough time with you to do anything anyway. And when you have a baby and you're having to work, two more shifts a day, plus come home and deal with a screaming baby, plus not sleep, then I'm going to be like, hey, let's podcast. You're like, you have Ben do it,
No, see, here's my thing.
I'm going to be like, did you call those leads? I have leads. I need leads.
I'm going to use one of those baby wearers and wear the baby on my chest while I'm doing fiends work. That way he will absorb the liberty
by
osmosis.
That's how I have Peanut in my lap, although he's not becoming any more libertarian. He's actually becoming more socialist.
I really do. I think that's really helpful.
Hateful. You almost said hateful.
Yeah, but I meant helpful. I meant it's helpful for the kid to sort of grow up seeing, it seems natural to me, right? I imagine back in the day, the kid would always be with you and he would be watching you and learning what you're doing by example, instead of being dumped in a government building with a bunch of other kids. And the only thing he's learning is how to pee on people and poop his pants.
for the military.
Yeah. It's just duplicating it when you put him in the government schools.
Yeah, do you think so? Can the Fiends look forward in 9 or more months from now to casts being interrupted by whereas cats, I can like put them in a closet and not go to prison.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. It seems to work for Molyneux. Like I swear, or I'm probably pretty sure, a lot of times he's driving his little girl to places while he's recording his podcast. And sometimes you'll hear her saying something, but he just keeps on going.
It's
more annoying to hear. You can hear the clicker and the windshield wipers as he's driving through the Canadian highways talking about liberty or something.
Yeah. Somebody in Canada, speaking of Canada, Rob in Canada said, I heard you say on the cast that it would be $500 million annually for gun control. Nice try. We're one-tenth your population. Cost us $1 billion just for a long gun registry before we scrapped it. It would cost you way more. Cheers. He said, cheers.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Who cares what it will cost? I don't care what the evilness will cost. I just know that it's evil. It's not like if gun control was cheap, I'd be like, do it. Or I know. It's an argument, man.
Minnesota banned.
It's me when people make arguments like that, like, oh, yeah, this tyranny will be really easy. It always reminds me of them lying us into war with Iraq. Like, oh, yeah, man, it'll be a cakewalk.
Well,
all the proceeds will be paid for by the oil we steal.
You know, one of the easiest, cheapest thing a government can do, literally, is line dissenters up and machine gun them. Or shoot them with semi-autos.
I suppose that would be the most
literally.
Cost-effective,
that is
right?
The most cost-effective action any government has ever taken is the people
that's why Stalin and Mao did it, right? Because they didn't have any money because they lived in this socialist basket case economy.
It didn't cost
that's all
them
they
five,
could afford to do to massacre people.
It didn't cost them $500 million to kill 60 million people. How much did a bullet cost back then? And the a lot of the soldiers doing it were conscripts. They were forced to do it and paid in gruel. So the cheapest thing any government can do is line you up and shoot you.
Yeah, but awful. Of course,
that'd be
they're
good
more
name
savvy.
For an episode.
Although maybe they're not more savvy than that. Maybe they would resort to something like that. So I was going to say, you don't want to kill your own tax livestock, kill your own cows. But if some of them have mad cow disease in your head, you know. Mad cow anarchist disease.
Yeah, people who don't like a government that's totalitarian aren't making money for the government. They're inspiring the other people, to do sabotage, which literally meant throwing your shoe into the gears in the factory you're forced to work in.
They're the good apples that spoil the bunch.
Yeah, man. Cheapest thing they can do. I mean, a bullet. Okay. They use 223s now. They cost us 30 cents each. They probably cost the government 10 cents each, and they steal the money anyway. But like literally the cheapest thing they can do is one bullet in the heart of each dissenter.
Mm-hmm. Stealing money to pay for the bullets to shoot you. Government. Thumbs up.
And then charging your family for the time it took to shoot you.
Yeah. Which is a concept in one of the bumps we made for radio.
For radio. We're like so overly ready for radio, and it won't call us back. It's frustrating.
Radio. Am I reverby?
No. Try it again, man. Do we even have show notes anymore?
I'm not routed through that.
I don't think we need them.
Never mind.
I don't think we need
My voice
them.
Isn't going through that mixer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway. Minnesota banned online learning and then changed its quote-unquote mind.
They banned it for like a day.
They banned it for years. It was an old law.
But I thought they didn't enforce the old law.
That they didn't enforce, but then they started to enforce it. Basically, and this was even state-approved learning. It was like Minnesota banned – like some Ivy League colleges like Cornell – and Harvard have online courses. Right. I don't know if they're accredited, but they are from those institutions, which are like the most venerated, statist venerated institutions in America for education. And they banned people paying to use them in Minnesota. and tried to enforce it. And then people were like, that is so square. And they finally went, oh, okay, you can learn on the inner tubes. You know, yeah, and man. Basically, like, what's the monopoly in that they're trying to do? Like, Minnesota's colleges are so wonderful. We want you to pay $30,000 a year to go to them.
Exactly. Yeah, man. They can't monetize other people's websites. I mean, it's a lot harder for them, at least, to try to extract money. So, yeah, man. But that's a great example. That's the freedom fix of the episode right there. I guess the gun buyback thing is, too. But, yeah, man, people power made them back off. They were like, well, we're going to enforce this. And people were like, hell you are.
It'll come out some other way.
And they backed off. Yeah, I guess that's the problem.
I'm wondering if there was any lobbying from the, not the tube industrial complex, the recovery industrial complex has a big seat in Minnesota because Hazleton is from there. And Hazleton, it used to be a publishing company that published like Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book Study Guide. You know, basically they were making money off something that's free, but I didn't really have a problem with it because it was, it was just, hey, something to help you study if you want it, you know? And then they got into recovery facilities. They had like, they converted a barn to like a place for drunks to go get sober. And then they turned it into like government funded recovery facilities, really high tech, you know, breaking ground today with the mayor cutting the ribbon all over the country. And then like got involved in influencing laws, and they are a big chunk of the recovery industrial prison complex. And they're in Minnesota. And I'm wondering if they're like, you know, we want to control education in this. I don't know, but that's my guess. That's where I would go. I look for who's follow the money, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. And Minnesota's also been really most people think of them as like, you know, like that movie. What is it? Fargo, Minnesota, Fargo, Brainerd, you know, like a bunch of hicks, but they do have a really, Tony and respected psychology industrial academic complex there. Like the colleges there produce some of the, you know, they write a lot of white papers that become.
That's racist.
Yeah. It was actually, we did an episode on that about schools that want to make paper black. But we said that using black ink on white paper is more friendly to the blacks because the what you're writing is the important part and the paper is just the background, you know? So if you make the background black and the ink white, you're saying the whites are more important. So those teachers were racist in trying to be reverse racist. When I think of the Minnesota psychology industrial complex, I think of The Simpsons where they show a young Ned Flanders of how he became the Oakley Doakley, like nothing bothers him kind of guy. Uh-huh. Yeah. He was raised by beatniks, and they bring, you know, the mom and dad beatnik bring young Ned. Ned's like seven into the shrink's office. And Ned's dad says, "We got to help us, Doc. We tried nothing and we're all out of ideas." Yeah. So and Ned is like pulling all the books off the bookshelf and throwing them everywhere. And the shrink's like, "Please, many of those books have not yet been discredited." And so they institute what's called the Minnesota Spankological Protocol, which is where the shrink just spanks him for like a year straight. Yeah. And they show like the seasons changing out the window. And then one day it's Ned's birthday and, you know, the shrink and Ned have party hats on and the shrink is spanking Ned while blowing a noisemaker. And yeah, it's the Minnesota Spankological Protocol, which is kind of a takeoff on how Minnesota academically is one of the movers and shakers of the psychiatric recovery academic industrial prison complex.
Yeah, man.
I love sometimes that I just quote, you know, I recite Simpsons on here, and I guess that wouldn't be good radio, and we don't add a lot to it other than, yeah, man, that's so cool. But I think it's cool because I get so excited about it, and it's kind of bizarre that I can remember episodes that accurately that I haven't seen in 12 years, and I can't really remember what I had for breakfast today.
I guess oatmeal. We can add stuff there, to it.
Oatmeal. Well, do you have something to add to it?
Yeah, man. A, that's what the state does, is try to spank the individuality out of you.
Well, that's another Simpsons. Remember in Lisa and Bart's school, each teacher under their desk has an independent thought alarm button.
Right.
And there's one where they show the principal going, "Two independent thought alarms in one day. Oh, no."
The other thing is my thoughts on the complex. You called it the Recovery Industrial Complex.
No, it's the Recovery Industrial Academic Prison Complex, because they're all connected.
Yeah, yeah.
Psychological. I had to put psychological in there. Yeah.
Well, I feel like sadists or some people might think, oh, that's just hooey. There's no complex. There's no conspiracy. But I think
there's going to be, because they can't pass any gun laws. And what they're going to do is put in more money for psychiatry. And it's basically going to be like, mm-hmm. when you go to get your driver's license now, you're going to have to take a psychological evaluation. I predict that. I really do.
Under Obama, it's already happening in New York in a similar way. Part of the corollary of that new gun law they passed, they have a companion to it, and the companion is going to be basically allowing and giving money to the psychiatry industry, to where they will make it a point to ask you about your guns. And not only that, but they'll have the power to say, well, this person, I believe, is a danger to others. He may hurt himself or others, which they can just say out of nowhere.
How long do you think before to buy a gun or own a gun without being in danger of going to prison, you're going to have to go spend a couple hours with a shrink and let him ask you questions?
I don't know, man. It could definitely happen. But here's what I worry is...
And the questions would be about authority and how you feel about authority. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they'd probably be the normal stuff like, you know, do you have thoughts of violence? Do you have thoughts of killing people? Blah, 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 blah. But I'll bet some of the questions would be, how do you feel about authority? How do you feel about the government? How do you feel about paying taxes? You know, stuff that any sane person would not have the thoughts about violence. But any sane person, in my mind, would have the thoughts about, like, I don't like authority. I don't like paying taxes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And here's what I worry about is,
you have ODD.
When was the last time you imagined psychiatrists or the psychiatry industry as being scrupulous and having morals and wanting what's best for their clients and best for society? Never, man. These are the people who basically made up the concept of there being a biological imbalance or a chemical imbalance in your brain,
and
so that they could sell more pills.
And oppositional defiant disorder, which is going to be the,
right.
If you've got that, you don't get a gun. And really,
right.
Any intelligent person has the symptoms that can be diagnosed as that.
Right, right. And so these are, you know, psychiatry has been said to be an arm of the state, and it has been proven to be such. You know, in Soviet Russia, they used this to say, well, you know, you're wrecking the party, you don't hold these beliefs, so
the
off
party.
To the gulag.
You're
with
wrecking
you.
You're a party crasher.
You're a party crasher
of the Soviet party.
There's a a psychiatrist, a person who's actually an insider in the industry, called Peter Bregan, and Lou Rockwell recently interviewed him, and he had some really interesting, amazing things to say about how the state is going to use psychiatry to steal your guns. Well, throw you in prison, basically. Steal your guns and throw you in prison. And basically have the free rein to say, well, this person's a danger to society, so you know, let's throw him in prison. And I think it's really important to note, too, that you know, the NRA isn't going to protect you from this kind of stuff. They've had spokesmen. In fact, the guy they sent to, what was it, Piers Morgan, was saying, you know, I'm
Pierce
all for
Butthole Morgan.
Piers Butthole Morgan.
Pierce Butthole Morgan.
Yeah, yeah. The spokesman they sent was basically saying, yeah, I'm all for, or we're all for, there being more laws about, you know, keeping crazy people from getting guns. And when you give the monopoly government the power to decide who's crazy and who's not, I think we all know who they're going to point out as the crazies. And it's a scary thought.
Yeah. Somebody posted FOID article, which is a firearms permit to purchase firearms or ammunition in Illinois. Now, is this something that requires a psychological evaluation?
I'm looking at the wiki page.
I don't see the word psychological or evaluation, but I'll bet it does. Let's see. Yeah, gun laws in Illinois. Yeah, if someone knows, please post that. Please answer in the chat room, in the chattel room. If that's
trying
a thing.
To find an image of the card,
danger to society. Search danger to society. That's one of the words in there. Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm.
I don't see that in there either. I'm not come on, people. Come on, people. Do our job better than us.
I did a control find identity document. Nope. Okay.
Suicidal,
yeah.
Threatening behavior, inclusion. And the Human Services data. Oh, mental health professionals are required to inform state of Florida authorities about patients who display violent, suicidal, or threatening behavior. Well, that's always been, but you know, I think they're going to add to that, like, don't like the government to that.
Or they're going to include that as violent or threatening behavior.
You know what Himmler said?
We want to end the state. They would probably consider that violent and threatening, right?
You know what Himmler said under Hitler? There's no reason for a German citizen to own a gun. If you like guns, join the army. I'm paraphrasing, but that was basically
it. Wouldn't they love that?
Yeah. Which a lot of people think. I mean, somebody, was it you or Ben that was telling me yesterday about somebody who... was saying, like, people don't need guns. We have the strongest army in the world. Ben said this to me on the phone. And it was like, what flaws do you see in that statement? First of all, yeah, that's the army that's going to kill you for your gun. Secondly, where is that army going to be when someone comes up to you with a switchblade on the street and demands your wallet and stabs you anyway, Or you ought to stop that from happening.
That's the army that's taken away more of my freedoms than any foreign actor ever has.
Nima, you got to be nice to the troops.
I don't know, man. I can be sympathetic to some of them who are just ignorant and going through the motions and think that they're doing what society tells them to do. I can somewhat understand that. I can somewhat understand that. I don't think that can at all justify their actions, though. And I think that they're just pawns of the people who are actually in charge of that are, I would imagine, supremely evil. In fact, I know they have to be supremely evil to do the things that they're doing. It's not even an
imagination. The government is a danger to society in every country.
Oh yeah. The government is the biggest danger to civilized society ever in the history of humanity, I would say.
Yeah.
And the things that the government's created, because you could say, no, it's nuclear weapons. Well, who created nuclear weapons? The government. I don't think nuclear weapons would have been developed.
The U.S. government with help from a bunch of Nazis.
Oh yeah.
Bunch of Nazi scientists.
Right. They shipped over the prize golden egg laying hens for their tax farm here in the United States.
Yeah,
government.
Russia and the United States divided the scientists up after the war, before lunch, before tea. Yeah. I don't think England got many of them somehow.
Yeah. Well, that's a really sad thing too, because sometimes status will be like, well, I just believe in science and I'm happy that science is getting bigger. And if we could just give more money to the scientists, and it's like,
love science too, but science involves empirical thought. And most people that say, I just depend on science, have no empirical thought. And liberals who believe that kind of crap are in a way as stupid as conservative Christian Republicans who deny evolution.
Yes.
I believe in evolution, and I want to talk a little bit about this documentary I saw called The Revisionaries, which is I saw it on PBS. It's a total liberal hit piece on a well-founded liberal hit piece where they actually have a pony to fight with, pony versus pony. Basically, Texas, as goes Texas, so goes the nation with textbooks. Do you know about this? You want to talk about this a little bit?
Mm-hmm. I've seen, I don't know if it was the same documentary, but maybe somebody did this. How old is this documentary, I guess, is my first question.
I don't know.
I've seen something which was the same concept, and it was about how the process of deciding what goes in the textbooks is completely politicized, and the people on the board for Texas who get to decide this and basically which decides the curriculum, it's a political position. And so as, whoever gets voted into it or appointed by somebody who got voted into the position that gets to appoint it, it's usually based on who's the good conservative Christian who got the votes or things like that. So in the end, it's not any kind of empirical truth that gets into the textbooks. It's what's politically correct. And politically correct can be from a right-wing politically correct, too. It doesn't always have to be a left-wing political correct.
Man, this Slate.com article, Salon.com article, same thing, about this movie and how great it is, really gets personal in the first paragraph. They talk about one of the Republicans in the documentary, and they said, he makes Ned Flanders from The Simpsons look like Mick Jagger circa 1969. Mick Jagger in 1969 was a sexy, thin, like a god. And he's saying that this guy makes Ned Flanders look like Mick Jagger in 1969.
Well, does the documentary attack the idea that we should have a political entity deciding what goes in the textbooks at all?
No, it says that the liberals and the secular humanists and the pro
should
science,
be in charge of it.
People
right.
should be in charge of it. I mean, isn't that what most documentaries except ours are based
from? I know, man. They just completely missed the point, though. Why you should know, a political body decide what every kid in the state is pretty much forced to learn? That's where the problem is. The problem isn't who's doing the deciding.
Yeah, why don't
the problem
you just,
is that they're deciding at all.
Why don't you liberals just take your kids out of school, raise them on your knee while you blog about how great tyranny is? while you try to pass right. laws to get equal treatment of liberals airtime on talk radio because Republicans are so, as I said before, it is not a right-wing conspiracy that Republicans run talk radio and liberals don't. It's that Republicans, unfortunately, do it really well and liberals really suck at it. And look at Air America. They tried doing their own network and it failed because nobody liked it because they suck at it. And yeah. I do not like Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and all those people, but they're really, really, really good at what they do. I hate to say it, but they are, man. So yeah. This movie, The Revisionaries, documents from a very statist leftist view this battle in Texas. Now, the interesting thing is the largest textbook company. The interesting thing to me is the company they're talking about, they don't even name them in there, but it's one company, basically, that they're dealing with that writes and publishes all these textbooks, and it's Course Technology, Thompson Technology. That's the publisher of $30 Film School, $30 Writing School, and my book, $30, what was it, Podcast School? Music, Film, Writing. Yeah, those three books. Mm-hmm. Like, I get checks. I pay my mortgage from checks that come every 4 months from that company, so... Yeah, and they don't care. They don't have an agenda. They do what makes money. Just like, right. you know, Clear Channel mostly puts on right-wing people, but they put on some left-wing people too because there's an audience for it. They go where the money is, these big companies.
Well, that's where the complex comes from, right? Is the state decides and then they pay these companies with stolen money. These companies get the government contract. So it's the state using the profit motive of the market to do its immoral actions. It's them twisting the economy that way. And that's where the name of the problem is, right?
Whereas, you know, the big companies like Clear Channel and Premier Networks, they don't really have a pony in the fight. They'll do whatever sells, but there are a lot of radio stations in the country owned by right-wing Christian Baptists or conservatives. Because basically, when liberals make a lot of money, you know, when liberals make a crap load of money, they say, you know, I'm going to spend this on gold-plated iPhones studded with
bedazzled,
a thousand
not studded, bedazzled.
With studded, bedazzled with 1,000 actual diamonds, and that's what they spend $500,000 on. You know, what else do they spend money on? They spend money on ad campaigns to, like, demonize gun ownership, whereas what conservatives do when they make a whole lot of money running a fried chicken franchise is they buy a radio station.
Buy land and guns.
They buy land and guns, and then they go, I've still got a few million left over. I need a tax write-off. There's a radio station for sale in my state, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the liberals use it to go, you know, liberal men use it to pay women to beat them naked, and conservative men use it to buy radio stations and spread what they believe is the truth. So this movie, The Revisionaries, the basic struggle in it is textbook writers and textbook publishers and schools and PTA members in Texas who are liberal want to talk about evolution only in textbooks. It's really this whole argument, and it's huge and really politically charged around the country. It's all about basically 4 pages in every textbook, you know, in every science textbook. It's all about just this one section.
How backwards is the thinking of textbooks in the first place? I mean,
okay,
kids these days, you don't have a finite space anymore. There's not a finite space. You don't have only this many pages anymore.
And why don't the liberals take their kids out of public school and do it themselves if they're so smart?
Yeah.
The conservatives do. That's another thing. You know, the liberals complain and say, we need the government to do something. And the conservatives do that too. But sometimes they just get fed up and say, we're going to homeschool. That's smarter. Why don't liberals do that? My sister is an extreme Obama-humping liberal, and she's a school teacher, and she used to run a liberal progressive preschool in West Virginia. You know,
you want to know why I think they don't, Or some of them, these horrible status ones.
No, Nima, I don't want your opinion. Yes, I'd love to hear your opinion.
Because I don't want to be collectivist and lump them all into the same group. But I think there's a problem with a lot of people who sort of think these things, sort of these liberal, you know, anti-conservative, anti-Christian ideas, is they're so collectivist in some cases that they want everybody to do what they think is right. So they're not satisfied with staying at home and teaching their kids what they think is right. They think we can only have a hunky-dory society where everybody gets along if everybody believes the same thing, if everybody does the same thing, and if everybody follows the same paths and the same rules.
Do you think that's fake
where the collectivism goes to?
Yeah. Do you think that fake ATF Guns and Weed Shop sold the movie Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom?
Well, they might have had more success if they had. They would have bought a bunch of them, and we would have gotten some kind of check.
Oh, they'd bootleg them. They'd bootleg them.
Oh, they would. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Free with every illegal purchase. But the point of this kind of documentary on PBS, which is paid for by taxes, and I don't have a problem with that. Of like, you know, we should give money for that and Planned Parenthood, but not other things we don't like. And I'm like, no, we shouldn't give stolen money for anything. We shouldn't steal it. But the point that documentaries like this make, it's kind of like a Michael Moore thing, but seems more scientific, even though it's as pointed. And, you know, basically, I once said something like, documentary films are presented as a search for truth, but they're not. Almost every documentary film, the person makes it because they have an agenda, and then they try to, through interviewing, selective choice of interviewees, selective choice of scenes that they film that they use, and the editing and the narration and the writing and the presentation. I know because I do this for a living. They try to make their point. You know, Michael Moore with Bowling for Columbine didn't set out to say, he acts like he set out to say, we need to scientifically, in the next 2 hours, we will scientifically determine what guns are about and what gun control should consist of, if any, you know. And then he spends 2 hours beating you over the head with lies, half truths, and handpicked facts to tell you what he already decided. And that's why he made the movie. This movie, The Revisionaries, is the same, but they kind of have a better case than a lot of them, because they show these kind of like town hall type meetings that are, you know, state level meetings about this part of the textbooks, where they have different experts from both sides. And the only two sides are, yes, the government should steal a bunch of money to pay to only put in the science view. And the other side is, no, the government's stealing a bunch of money, so they have to also include the idea that we take literally that this book written when back when a wheelbarrow would have been a vast improvement in technology, that God was created by this thing in the sky with a beard snapping its fingers 7 days in a row. And the Republicans look really, 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 really stupid in it. And the Democrats look really smart. And it's one of those places where, like, they actually have a pony in the fight that can fight, but they're missing the whole fight. That's the Fiend take on it.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing I'd like to say about liberals and their science, or their love of science, is science has a tendency to be compromised when the way scientists pay for their research is through government grants. Right. I mean, doesn't that am I still too quiet?
Yeah. Right. You need to stand a mic more. If you're standing up, why don't you just mic control?
My lips have never stopped touching the microphone. Huh. My lips are literally touching the microphone.
Yeah. Right,
I'm going to turn up as loud as I can.
That's horrible. Horrible.
Is that horrible?
That's right. So horrible.
How's
you just
that?
Broke everyone's radio. Radio. Right.
Check, check, check.
Yeah.
I'm going to do mic checks live on the air.
No, this is good.
Check.
Just right. Stay on there, man. Stay on there. Be a man, Nima. That's what someone said. Yeah, you're usually more like, and furthermore, the government, you know, it's probably not mic placement. It's Nima. Nima mind placement. Get angry. Get angry, man.
Yeah.
Right. So
right.
You were saying? Hey, is this Saeed? Saeed. There's someone in the chat room named Saeed. Is that our friend from Iran?
Maybe.
Yeah. Nice.
But Saeed is a popular name in that part.
I'll bet there's not many people listening to Rush Limbaugh in Iran.
I bet not.
It's a good thing.
They would be very afraid of what Limbaugh had to say. So, yeah, I'm going to be a man. These stinking statists with their ideas and their love of science. Well, hey, you know what? Science isn't really what you think it is if they're getting paid by the government to do it, because they know where the bread is buttered on. They know where the money's coming from, and they know that they're going to, even if they're not doing it consciously, even if it's unconscious, they're going to weed out the results that get them more money. So I feel like science is less scientific when the state pays for it, when the National Endowment of Science or whatever these state organizations that pay for scientists and give out grants do it, or when it's NASA, or when the government pays scientists to do military research, because that's the other thing. If you had a free society, if the market was deciding where science was doing research and development and what technologies were being created, you would have a vast improvement, I think, on what consumers could see as technology and what science was used to help consumers, rather than what science was used to create the latest bomb that's going to blow up a week after its creation and kill a bunch of brown people on the other side of the world, or what science is being used to control people's minds or look under people's clothes at their naked parts so you can see if they have a gun on them.
You know, I mean, a lot of times when we talk about how immoral it is to kill the brown people on the other side of the world, It's not that common, I think, that we have a brown person from the other side of the world listening to us. That's so awesome. It is him. That's great. We welcome you, and we hope that our government doesn't hurt you.
Yes. I will say salam to Saeed.
It's not our government. I didn't vote for him.
Not our government.
I didn't vote for him. Does he want to fiend in for the last section here? You want to call us on the I like getting on the central scrutinizer list, so if someone wants to Skype us from Iran, you know, while he's Skyping in, if he wants, I would like to say that the problem with scientific people who venerate science, I venerate science, but I venerate real science. I venerate scientific method, which most of those people ignore. Like gun grabbing is a really good example. You know, they'll say, well, statistically, you're more likely to die if you have a gun in your home than if you don't. And it's like they cherry pick their facts, and they throw out things like even the FBI saying that more guns means less crime, basically. Although the FBI is changing that because Obama is forcing him to. All right. Saeed, how are you?
How are you?
We're great, man. How's the weather in Iran today?
Well, it's rainy after some days.
Is it night?
Well, yes, it's 2 a.m.
Oh, man. It's like
2:30.
4 p.m. here, 4 in the afternoon. Wow.
Saeed, I want to go visit Iran, but some of my family is worried that the military will conscript me. Did you have to do compulsory military service yet, or do you have to?
Well, if you were outside of Iran after you are 15, no, you don't have to.
Oh, excellent.
So could Nima go visit and get to come back home?
Yes, of course, and he can contact Iran's whatever in Washington D.C. and
consulate.
In Pakistan. No, it's not a consulate. It's
there's
in
not
Pakistan,
official.
They have an office,
right? Because there's not official Pakistan's relationship.
Consulate, they have an office. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, here's the other thing I want to know about visiting Iran. I tend to carry my gun with me wherever I go. If I went to Iran, would I still be allowed to carry my gun
with
me?
No.
No.
But you
do Iranian citizens get to carry guns? I could buy a gun?
Well, you have to go through so much paperwork.
Can you carry a gun? Can you carry a gun there and be his bodyguard, Saeed?
No. But you can buy a full auto AK-47 here for $200.
Man,
for
the central scrutinizer guy, awesome. the guy from our government listening to this is scribbling notes furiously and like forwarding. This guy on this anarchist podcast is planning to go to Iran and buy a full auto and hang out with some other dude and walk around with a gun. What? No, man. We're just talking.
No, you can't have your gun.
So tell us something good. What's good lately in your country, in your region, in your area?
Well, I don't know. Maybe people are getting fed up with this government at last. It's good about that. But there's one thing I want I don't understand about America. Why people think it's gonna end up in just in guns? Because when Iran banned guns in after the revolution, they said everyone that has a gun have to bring them back. Everyone did, of course. They were people. Everyone did, but they were assassinations in after the war, after Iran-Iraq war, and world government said, okay, we're gonna ban all guns. They did. Everyone brought in their guns. Assassinations didn't stop. They said, well, we banned guns.
Yeah.
what happened? And they, what do you think they did?
You're preaching to the choir here, brother. Do you have that idiom? Do you have that idiom there? You're preaching. What did they do?
Yes.
What did they do?
They banned motorcycles with engines higher than 250 cc's.
Why?
Because assassins, other than guns, they were using motorcycles.
Yeah. People always find a way, and governments can't do anything. I mean, they recently, some kid in high school here used like Axe body spray, which is like a spray cologne, and lit it with a match and burned some other student horribly. And I'm like, okay, that's another thing they need to ban is body spray cologne.
Well, yes. But are people there? Do they understand? Are there a lot of people there that get, hey, just because the government bans something doesn't mean it will stop the action they're trying to stop? People will just find new tools. I guess what I'm asking is
about drugs. People understand this about drugs.
Right. And yes. I imagine alcohol, but especially, right?
Alcohol, I don't think anyone thinks it's illegal here because you can buy everywhere. It's just expensive, more expensive, but it's getting cheaper. Drugs are getting cheaper. Everything is getting cheaper except for things that are sanctions. Things that are legal.
Right.
Everything that's legal, it's getting expensive. Illegal stuff are getting cheaper.
So the black market is working better right now than the above board market because of the American sanctions?
Absolutely. But
wow.
I don't think it's all about sanctions, because if it was about sanctions, why illegal stuff is getting cheaper? I think it's about government regulations.
Mm-hmm. How did you find the Freedom Fiends again?
Well, I listened to I used to read anti-war, and I found out about Scott Horton, FDL, Bad Quaker.
Free Talk Live. And you. We had Bad. Okay. Did you hear Bad Quaker call in the show today?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. We got a couple minutes left here.
Hold on. I got one more question. I'm a huge fan of Scott Horton. I listen to him all the time, but he did say something that upset me the other day.
Really?
And I know his intentions were okay, because he was trying to say, hey, Iran is not a threat to America in any way. You guys need to stop being scared of them. But he said Iran is a piece of crap country, you know, trying to say, hey, it's just a piece of crap out there in the desert. But I don't think that's true from what I've read from travel logs. It is actually a beautiful country, and there's lots of fun things to do. What is your opinion? Do you think you live in a piece of crap country or what?
Well, if you search in Google, hello?
Yeah,
we're here.
Okay. If you search in Google, your piece of the woods, I think Mazandaran in Iran, it's about the most beautiful place you can see, Chalus Road. Right. It's mind-blowingly beautiful. It's a great, beautiful country. I think if Iran gets a lot of freedom, even a little freedom, I don't think Iranians are willing to immigrate into another country, because why would they? And I listen to Iranians out of Iran a lot, and they always say, I wish Iran was free, I could come back to Iran.
Right.
I don't think Iran is like that.
How many listeners does the Freedom Fiends have in Iran?
Me.
Well, Frank Vidotti, whose name is younger brother, who also has a dad from Iran, is is here and he wants to ask you a question, but he can't call in, so he's going to type in. I'm sorry, though, I interrupted you, but I've asked Frank what he wants to know, and then you can finish your story that I interrupted, okay. Please.
Well, while Frank's doing that, though, I do also want to ask, because I know that you've been telling people about anarchy and anarcho-capitalism where you're at. How's that going now? Are more and more people getting it? Because I feel like there's a gap there, because I don't know how many Iranians or even people in the old world or the Middle East in general understand that concept, because they're so busy trying to get more democracy and more freedom in the way people normally conceptualize it. How is the anarchist teaching or mission going for you in Iran?
Well, I have planned to translate Rothbard's Anatomy of the State. I think
excellent.
It's a good start.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think people are here just focus on getting rid of this tyrannical government. It's the only thing they think about. They don't think about what's going to come next. I don't think. But people here, I don't think they want a revolution.
Right.
That's why. And I think that people understand this. It's a good thing that people understand this. I don't think they think past overthrowing this government. They don't think past that. It's a bad thing, but
right.
About Iran being a bad piece of crap country, no, it's not. It's really bad. No.
Excellent.
Yeah, but,
we have that same problem.
It's a beautiful country, and people here, you can say anything about them, but people here are good people.
Yeah,
and I think that people look at the Middle East from here as being, oh, it's everything's messed up there and everything's falling apart. And like where that is true, it's mostly because the U.S. has gone in and bombed it. And in the U.K. over the years, you know, Western intervention has bombed it to the point where it's a pile of rubble.
Well, I think if sanctions didn't America didn't sanction Iran, it would because middle class was growing rapidly, and when middle class, where there is middle class, middle class wants more freedom, more accountability from government, and it would be a good thing. But with sanctions, and people are now just think about getting by another day. They don't think about freedom. They don't think about anything important.
Frank wants to know what most Iranians think of Americans. I want to know if were we block selling to your country? Sanctions. If that affects you personally. Those are our last two questions.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. But about Americans, Iranian people love Americans.
Really? Good. We love you. No homo. how do the sanctions affect you personally?
Well, it's about groceries prices and stuff, gas prices even here in Iran. Think about
where the gas comes from. That's weird.
Yes. Well, imagine you want to buy something today. It's $10, for example. Next week it could be $20.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really sad and hard for people.
Right. My dad was telling me that banks in Iran have been giving high rates of interest for savings accounts, and that some of his Iranian friends were like, that live in America, were like, oh, well, I'm going to go put, you know, $25,000 back in the bank in Iran because there's like 30% interest right now. And my dad like said he did the math, and even that giant amount of interest still doesn't keep up with inflation just because inflation is happening so fast. Is that what you're seeing there too?
Well, my brother works at real estate, and he says if you invest in real estate right now, in 6 months, your money could triple or quadruple. I don't think anyone who thinks invests in banks. I don't think so. You can invest in real estate and get a real.
Right. Okay. So just getting your money. So putting your money in a bank isn't the thing to do if you're an Iranian investor. It's buying real estate because then you can actually sell it.
Yes, in 6 months, I think it's going to quadruple.
Wow.
In prices. Wow. Yes.
Well, right. It's been good having you on, man. Call in anytime.
It's good. Oh, of course. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Good office.
Take care, man.
Bye-bye.
Worms. Well, we went a little bit over today, but that's a good thing. It's not every day we get a call from all the way over there. And the miracle of the internet and the fact that it hasn't been taken away yet makes it a good thing. So, Nima, you want to play the outro? You want to say anything pithy and then play the outro? Brother man?
Yeah, man. I just want to say that. Think about the beauty in the world. Think about, hey, you know, everybody can find beauty in something, and we really all do when it comes down to individuals. Unless you're a sociopath, we mostly love our fellow man and our brethren across the world. So don't listen to these nitwits that try to tell you the world is this horrible, dangerous place where everybody's trying to kill everybody else and we need a state to protect us. They're just saying that because they benefit from that. So wake your mind up, listen to the fiends, stop being brainwashed, and I think we can have a peaceful, free world that we all live in. That's my final statement.
Worms. All right. Let's hear that outro, brother man.
The Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Fiends Agenda. We'll be back streaming live every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. East Coast U.S. time on Freedom Fiends Radio at freedomfiends.com. MP3 archives of all Freedom Fiends episodes are available free at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.
Worms. Yeah, yeah. All right. We done budding?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We finish budding and we'll have our aftercare. You know, I was thinking, you have an SM audio mic. Yeah. You have an SM57 mic and an SM audio preamp. Are you into S&M?
No, not really. Why should I be?
I don't know. Sounds like it. Your audio is into S&M. What you eating, man?
A sandwich, man. I'd really love to hop off of here and eat this and get ready for work, if that's okay. All right.
I'll let you go. I'll call you at work.
Okay, cool.
Take care, man. Bye.
Peace.
Why am I hearing something in the background? It's the central scrutinizer.